Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. They're doing a repeat episode, but if Jeff Sandor wants to call in and promote the They Still Live podcast going to YouTube, that channel is up now. You can go to YouTube. They Still Live podcast on the Guardians of the Green Galaxy episode. That's just a sketch comedy bit we put online with Ned Lee Baked and some aliens. But go to the page and subscribe. Click the notification bell. And get notifications. We did a sample run. So let's start the show.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me sour side.
Today's show, I'm going to have a very special guest. The band Liliac will be joining us. Melody, Abigail, Samuel, and Florin Cristea. I found them doing the cover of a Metallica song, Enter Sandman. I was like, wow. Young family band, we'll get more into that with them. Busy weekend in racing. NASCAR in action at the Paperclip. Martinsville, shout out to Ashley and Brittany Cote and their mom and dad. First trip to Martinsville, Virginia for the truck race and the cup race. They seem to be thrilled. hope they had a real good time. It was a little soggy on the way down, but the weather held off for the race and got in action. As it turns out, the Truck Series races on their schedule. This is race one of the final three eliminators, which will drop two guys out of the playoffs for the final four in Homestead. So and kick it off. That led 148 of 200 laps. Johnny Sauter, driving for GMS, started eighth, wound up winning both stages. So he pretty much spanked the crowd, getting a total of 7 playoff points, which adds up as we inch their way down. He's already locked into the final, so he has nothing to worry about. Brett Moffitt taking the runner-up spot. Myatt Snyder, third, is a name I haven't heard of. Driving the number 13, Ben Rhodes in fourth. Kyle Benjamin in fifth, who's not running for points. Justin Haley in the sixth spot. Noah Gragson, seventh. Harrison Burton, eighth, ninth. And Timothy Peters, who won the last truck race out. Usually you see him in the pits. Rounding out the top 10. Good run for Tim. He's only been in a couple of races. Let me check everybody else there. A couple of guys that were running. Jordan Anderson started 26th, former guest on the show. I want to give him a shout out because the NASCAR Twins are big fans of his. Jennifer Jo Cobb, 32nd, friend of mine. Have to get her back on. She's running in the International NASCAR's International Series. I think it's Legends. I don't know. I'll have to talk to her about that. Good race for that. It was Sauter's 23rd Camping World Truck Series victory. Of course, next year will be the Gander Outdoors Series. 6 cautions for 43 laps. Five lead changes amongst 4 drivers. Those 4 were Snyder. Myatt Snyder led 7 laps. Kyle Benjamin led 6 laps. And the only other double-digit winner, the only double-digit winner, sort of was a triple-digit leader, Todd Gilliland. So Sauter with the win gets to lock in the final four. And here's what he had to say.
Okay, we will open up the availability for the winning team of today's Texas Roadhouse 200 presented by Alpha Energy Solutions. And welcome to the winning driver before we announce the team's dais here. We are joined by the president of GMS Racing, Mike Dean, the crew chief, Joe Shear Jr., and the winning driver and the first person to lock up a spot in the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway, Johnny Sauter. It is Johnny's third consecutive championship four appearance. He's made it in each one of the 3 years that the series has had the playoffs. So maybe we'll start off with that. Winning the championship in 16. Obviously, you're locked in. Feel good over the next 2 races in the round of 6, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, this has been a lot of fun, obviously, this year, winning 6 races in a season. And, you know, I feel like you should have 8 or 9. So I'm not going to complain. 6 is pretty special. But to do what we did today with our ISM Connect Chevy was pretty awesome. So I know Joe and the guys did a lot of work in the weeks preceding this race and had a lot of stuff to try. And then we get here and practice trained out. So I was like, now what are you going to do? And he's like, well, we'll go back to old faithful setup. So I'm glad it rained now. So, but just so proud of everybody at GMS Fabrication, the chassis shop, just everybody. Total team effort. But to get this win, obviously, this final round of the playoffs for us has been pretty awesome over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, last year we came up 1 point short on the championship, and then we got to make sure we don't do that again. So, But we're going to Texas next week. It's been a pretty special place for us. And then obviously Phoenix, we won last year, and I just love that racetrack as well. So we get 4 o'clock here. You know, a lot of things have to go right to win at this place. This is one of the toughest places we go to, and not to drive, but, you know, to have everything work out. And, you know, we just had really good speed. We were able to drive up, I think, from eighth to third right away on that first initial run. And I was like, I'm driving by these guys, and I don't even feel that good about my stuff, you know. And so it just, I felt like you were kind of like on ice today. If you overdrove it, you could fly to get in the corner. So it's just a lot of give and take and whatnot. So just proud of everybody. Awesome pit stops, and we're racing for a championship. That's what it's all about.
There's Johnny Sauter talking about taking the winning four grandfather clocks. That's right. The trophy is a grandfather clock. Let's take a quick look at how they fit. Right now, it is Johnny Sauter locked in. Noah Gregson is in second. Brett Moffitt, who is your runner-up, is third in the playoffs. And on the bubble is Grant Enfinger with Justin Haley and Matt Crafton right behind him. Looking in, let's take a closer look at the points. Let's see how tight that race really is. Top six, Crafton, Enfinger, and Haley, a two-point swing. And they're both, Enfinger's 27 behind Moffitt. So if it did come down to points, Moffitt would be in, and it's a battle between Grant Enfinger and Justin Haley. And Matt Crafton is 10 points below the bubble spot. So right there is a thing to keep an eye on. So if they're going to Texas, it ought to get pretty interesting this coming weekend. See, Xfinity Series off, believe it or not. So it's pretty interesting how this truck championship is going to shake out. We'll just have to wait and see. Stay tuned, because it'll all be done in a couple of weeks. Imagine that. As we wind it on down, check the race out. Friday night, November 2nd, 8:30 p.m. on Swan. So, it's going to be kind of interesting. In the Cup race, things got a little testy between Joey Logano and Martin Truex Jr. Came down to a last lap battle. Rubbin is racing. Logano and Truex battling for the win. Him and Marty got together and got a little sideways. This was coming off turn four. And cash in on that and take the win. Of course, Logano only won stage one, but he locks into the final four. He led four times for 309 in the 500 laps. The only other big leader was Kyle Busch, who led twice for 100 laps. So there are 409 laps led by two guys, and the other big lap leaders were Brad Keselowski. He led 41. He was in third place in laps led. Denny Hamlin, who finished second, was 31 laps leader, and Martin Truex, who was leading up until the last lap, led for 18. Now, of course, Truex, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, considered the Big Three. We'll get to see how that goes. But it was Joey Logano holding off Truex. Truex, of course, said Logano won't win the championship. The whole seat to that. So we're going into Texas and Phoenix before the final four. Or even, could even come down to Homestead. You never know how close they are and how fast they run. So we'll just have to wait and see how that is. Let's take a look and see what Joey Logano had to say about taking the win in round one of the final round of eliminations in the round of eight where it gets cut down, and he's locked in.
Okay, we are now here with the winner of the first Data 500, driver of the number 22, Shell Penn Royal Ford for Team Penske, and that is Joey Logano, the first driver to lock up a spot in the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway. Maybe just open up with a few comments about running for another championship.
Yeah, it's huge to be in that championship four again. It'll be our third time we've been in there, so we hope this time is the time that we finally get the big trophy at the end. But you know, obviously today is a amazing race car, you know, car that we were able to drive to the front, but probably even more spectacular is the pit crew. They were on their game today, just laying down great stops every time, gaining spots, and you know, when you're out front here at Martinsville, you're able to, you know, clean air. It means a lot, but it means a lot for different reasons than it would at a Miami or a Phoenix or whatever it is. I think when you're out front, you're able to control your own pace and keep a lot of air to your brakes and keep your car cool, and it pays off on the long run. If you get yourself mired back in the pack and your fist fixed or further back, you're stacked up on other cars and your car's getting hot, you're on the race things harder than you want to, and before you know it, you pay the penalty on the long run. So the pit stops were really, I think, the game-changing moment today for us to keep us out front. And then there at the end, it's tight. You know, we made some adjustments to try to fire off better there, and it did not work. But we were able to hold them off and almost hold them off, and then be able to make the move there at the end to get the win.
Joey, if you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Let's start with Dustin, and then we'll get started.
Dustin Long, NBC Sport. I'm sure you've heard of Martin Truex, called it a cheap shot, a cheap win. Your reaction, does it even matter?
Of course it matters to me. You know, I think, you know, as a race car driver, you think about a lot of things, but, you know, my goal was not to wreck in any way. My goal is to win the race, but I don't want to win by stopping somebody. I want to win by, you know, making a move. And you know, as the classic bump and run, that is the move that our sport and Martinsville in particular was built on. You know, and I feel like I owe it to my race team to do everything I can and to be able to win a race and get ourselves to have a shot at a championship. That's my job. They did their job today, and I had to do mine. And you know, like I said, it wasn't a move that I sent them three lanes up the racetrack. I was able to just get underneath them, and then we bumped and banged across the line. You know, it's the way that I wanted to do it, to be able to get a win. I didn't, you know, like I said, I wasn't going to spin them out. Didn't want to crash them. Didn't want to do anything like that. But I know how big of a deal it is to win any race. But when you get to Martinsville, this is probably the second most important race to win all year if you're still in the playoffs. And to get yourself to Miami, and now there's just one more. So you got to focus hard on Miami right now.
There you have Joey Logano talking about his rubbing his race. And he's right, you know. It's just that it is Martinsville, and it's known for that. You know, when nobody wants to see a boring snooze fest race. Yeah, they're running side by side. It's a tight track. There's barely any room. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens next week. Anyway, points-wise, Kyle Busch leads in actual points, but Joey Logano, who is in fourth in points overall, locked in. So he don't have to worry about his point spot there. Right behind him would be Kyle Busch, who has 55 playoff points, and Martin Truex and Kevin Harvick with 38 and Harvick with 54 and Truex with 38. So it's right now it's Logano, followed by Kyle Busch, followed by Martin Truex Jr. and Harvick. Kurt Busch, who is there behind Harvick, doesn't have enough playoff points for the final race. He probably won't make it. He would have to win one of the next two. Next week, Texas. We're coming up, and it's going to be NBCSN, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can catch it there. And Xfinity, Might as well check the rest of the schedule before we get to the NHRA. Xfinity back in action again at Texas on the 3rd, which is Saturday. 3:30 on NBC. If they don't have any college football to air, otherwise they'd even bump the Sportsnet. Anyway, so Big Texas weekend on November 2, 3, and 4, Trucks Friday, Xfinity Saturday, Cup Sunday, round 2. The final eliminations in Xfinity right now, it's Daniel Hemric. Cause race 1 was won by a non-playoff contender, so Tim Peters, I think. Anyway, right now it's Hemric, Sadler, Reddick, and Bell. Allgaier on the outside looking in as far as points goes, but playoff points, it comes down to that. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. Anyway, NHRA out of the strip in Las Vegas for the two wides this time. Last time out, they expanded the track, made it to four wide. So, JR, for the top fuel. All right, there we go. Steve Torrance takes the win over Leah Pritchett. Leah, having an off year, made it to the finals. Had an 0-19 reaction time, off the line quick, but losing traction didn't help. Torrance with his 0-47. Turned a 3.75 with a 1. Leah with a 5.31 with a 7. It's a shame. Would love to see him get a win. She qualified 4th. Milliken, number 1 qualifier. Billy Torrance, Steve's father, 3.72 with the low ET. Best reaction time, of course, to Leah in the final round. Top speed to Steve Torrance. Pretty much locking in his first championship. And Funny Car beats Matt Hagen. They tighten that one up. Hagen hadn't been in the finals in a while. It seemed to be the J.R. Todd Robert Fight Show in the playoffs. With one to go. Low ET, 390 with a 6 for J.R. Best reaction time, 0.37 for Hagen. Top speed, 330 mile an hour for John Force. In top pro stock, Eric Enders up against Bo Butner. Came down to a hole shot. Bo Butner with a 007, a 665 with a 7. The ET was a little bit slower than Erica's 665 with a 2, but she had the 020 reaction time. And that's pretty darn, 020 is good, 007 is better. So that gives Bo the win. Erica, first time in the finals in a few weeks, she's turning it around. So hopefully coming into next year, Erica will be back in championship form. So we'll try to talk to her next weekend. They are off. And then back in action for one more race to cap it off in Pomona. So we'll just have to wait and see. Let's check the standings right now. Steve Torrance, considered locked in, 230-point lead over Clay Milliken, one to go, ain't happening. He should be clinched championship, will be picking up the big trophy next time out. In Funny Car, J.R. Todd with a 74-point lead over Robert Height, all but decided. Height needed to turn it around. If he could have went more than one round, he lost to Sean Langdon in round one, which kind of hurt, but not out of it yet. Pro stock, Anna Gray over Jay Coughlin by 140. Eric Enders climbs the third at 149 back, but it it's over, Johnny. Tanner's got it. You can't make up 140 points in one event. And in Pro Stock Motorcycle, I forgot to go to that one. Matt Smith with a 4-point lead over Eddie Krawitz and a 61-point lead over Ellie Tonglet. Hector Iron Jr. 64 back and forth. Look for Krawitz and Smith. Come on, Matt, hold on to that thing. Go one more round in Krawitz, you'll lock the championship up. What did the results for? So November 8th through the 11th will be the final wrap up at Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. So we'll have to see what that's like, how that shakes out. So Hector Arana Jr. taking the Pro Stock bike. Eddie Krawitz, so that's why Krawitz climbed to the points. Low ET was Hector, 668. Best reaction time, Mark Paquette. There's a name you don't see too often. 001. Top speed, Matt Smith. So there you have your NHRA results. So going into the November 8th through 11th in Pomona, to find out how that's going. So right now, let's take a look at what's going to be going down this coming week. NASCAR in action is the only activity in town. And we will be having members of Liliac, the Melody Cristea, the singer and bass player, Samuel Cristea. They're all brothers and sisters, folks. The guitar player, lead guitar player, and Abigail Cristea, the drummer. And Florin Cristea, who's the manager and the father, who used to actually be a Romanian pop star. So we'll talk to him in a little bit. So they'll be joining us shortly. In and around the town, the town Martinsville, a good weekend down there. It's only about an hour and a half up the road, depending on traffic. Race day traffic is kind of terrible, but I live in between Charlotte, Martinsville, and Bristol. Straight line between north of Charlotte and west of Bristol and north of Bristol. So we'll have the preview. Ooh, Texas. Who are we looking at for Texas? I forgot to make my Texas pick. I'm so excited about having Liliac on and waiting for them to join in. Let's see now. Kevin Harvick, playoff race last year, holding off Truex, who actually led the most laps. And then Denny Hamlin was third. Early race this year, Kyle Busch took the win. Harvick was second. Truex this time, a little further back. He got into a wreck on lap 80, and that was just his day was done. Qualified sixth, so you can't count him out. So it's going to be either Kyle Busch, Harvick, or Truex. Where did Kyle Busch finish? Oh, well. Last year, in this race last year, he qualified fifth and finished 19th, so interesting. Who do I like? The factor in each one of the races that wasn't in the top 10 was Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. This race last year, Truex was going for his first championship and wound up getting it, winning at Homestead. He had enough playoff points to make it in, and he took the championship. But right now, if I look at it, the only name I see up there that's consistent in both events is Kevin Harvick. So Harvick is the one, and I'm going to go with, so that's it for that. So coming back after this song, I'm going to play their single. It's a really good song. I like it. We'll be back with Liliac. Here's their song, Chain of Thorns. There you have it. I'd like to welcome to the show Lauren, Melody, Abigail, and Samuel Cristea, members of the band Liliac. Hello. Hope you're all playing your song. Good. Hope you didn't mind me playing your song to lead you in. It's a great song, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. How long this? I was watching, I got hooked listening to your Enter Sandman cover, and it was like, the song's the same, but the sound is different. What prompted you guys, I guess, to form a family band? I know, Florin, I guess, you were a Romanian pop star, so is that the influence you had on the kids?
Somehow, I wasn't a pop star. I recorded a record in Romania, which actually ended up being sent to movies, so I never released it or toured on it or anything like that. So when I hit 30 years old, I became a music producer and songwriter, and my kids grew up around the studio, and that's what really influenced them, going out with music and see the process of recording artists and making records.
Pretty interesting now. How old is everybody that's in the band? Because obviously, if you're a young guy yourself, and I guess Samuel's the oldest, and I guess, would I say, no, would Abigail be second, and then Melody, and then the young two sons?
That's correct.
I'm 19. Abigail is 18. Melody's 16. Ethan is 12. And Justin's 11.
Wow. And you all sound great. You sound like you've been playing for decades. I mean, your musicianship is there. And I guess my interesting thing is I was seeing an older video of you and Samuel. You were the singer. How did Melody get to take over the lead vocal role?
Oh, well, it's because our mom was listening to Melody singing when she was a kid, and my dad, and she asked my dad to listen to her sing, and we decided to put her as the lead because she has that, she developed, because she loves listening to Ronnie James Dio, and she developed that raspy rock voice, and it was, like, really good for the music we do, so we decided for, we wanted her to be the lead vocalist.
And Melody, I have to now address you because I find your voice unique. It's a one-of-a-kind sound, and I listen to all sorts of different bands from, and I watch that show, The Voice, and hearing different singers, but you have a unique voice that seems to just attract people. How do you feel about that? For being told that, anyway.
That's pretty good. Thank you very much.
Because can you do a Chain of Thorns? Is this your first original single, or do you have a few more that you're going to wait to put on an album before you make videos of it, if you do?
Yeah, so Chain of Thorns is our first song that we put out. And right now we are working on 5 other songs that we're going to put out as a 6-song EP. So, yeah, wait for it.
I can't wait for it. That's just it. I mean, they all, I think your fans can't wait for it either. I've been getting a lot of fans when there's more stuff coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Florida, you're the producer, and so I guess it's your studio set up. You have a good sound that comes out. It's nice and crisp and clean, and how did you manage to work that in?
Yes, for less than 10 years, I opened a studio here in Downey, California, which is in Los Angeles County, where James Hetfield from Metallica was. He was born here and went to high school here. I've been working with all kinds of artists, from pop and rap and hip-hop and everything. But, you know, the last few years, I've focused myself more on to recording. And Liliac is actually my first band that I've recorded. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, they get comments on entertainment that, oh, you know, I think the kids are faking it, and they have probably professional musicians that they hire and bring them in the studio and record. And I was just talking to my kids that we actually right now, we don't even afford to hire musicians. We're seven people in our family. We're a big family and we have a lot of bills and, you know, long hair, a lot of money spent on shampoo and conditioners. But everything is, yeah, the band is, you know, they're playing every instrument. They work hard. We work hard every day. You know, they practice many hours. And, you know, especially in the studio, it's very, when you record instruments or vocals or everything, you're like under the microscope. So, you know, you can't get away with anything. So I make sure that it's done right, you know, how I'm used to making sure the sound that goes in, you know, and we do it again, you know, let's do it again with more energy, more attitude. So I'm all about feeling and energy and attitude and really portray the song for what it is.
Seems to me that I've watched some of your live videos from the pier where you're performing. You could tell that they're actually playing the instruments and singing. The sound mix, you know, on a place like that isn't going to be the best, because you can't have the full board there and be able to hone it in. But for people to comment like that, they haven't seen everything.
Yeah, the way, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and when we put something out, unless it's recorded on a stage, you know, mic all the drums and mic the guitars and bring it in a mixer, and then we can mix it, you know, like how live albums you sound back in the day, record, you know, like from Dio and Black Sabbath. But when it's recorded with a phone or just a little microphone from a camera, I don't really go for putting things out, because then you can't hear the bass well. You're just going to hear a lot of drums. You can't hear the vocals good. So my decision was, you know, we're just going to put music videos with the quality that we have in the studio, because we don't have equipment to record. And you can't even set up, like on the pier, you can't set up, a lot of equipment, because they give you a small area of about 14 feet wide where you perform. And then the crowd that comes, you know, they walk around and they see the band, they stop. We don't have a lot of space. So we already have the PA system, the drums and everything set up. You know, there's no space to put a lot of recording equipment in there. So basically we dub with the music video. But it's actual footage from their performances where the crowd is involved and so on.
That's pretty good. So how did you all come up with the name Liliac?
I'll let Abby or Sam or Melody tell you more about it.
Okay.
Well, basically, our parents were born in Romania, and our dad was born 1 hour away from the castle of Dracula. And before we came up with Liliac, our band name was the Cristias, which was our last name. But since we made our music more heavier, we wanted to find a better name that matched our music, our genre. And so we were just asking our dad, like, oh, how do you say this in Romanian or this? And then we asked our dad, how do you say that in Romanian? And he said, oh, it's Liliac. And we're like, oh, that's perfect. And from then on, we just kept that name, and we really like it.
Okay, so that's why there's the bat wings on the logo in the video, so that explains
things. Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, I grew up a big vampire fan watching Dracula and vampire movies, not the sissy ones you have today, but the old school. So
cool.
It kind of hit home with me that with your dad being from Romania, and now you're saying he's only an hour away from Dracula's castle and watching movies and stuff, talk about Vlad Tepes and things like that. You know, I kind of connect with that. So I guess probably that might be one of the reasons, besides your sound and why I connected with you guys and wanted to have you on so bad. So I hope you don't mind, and I'm helpful. Anything you can do, if you want to send me something to play, I'll play it on the show to promote it, and I'll try to help you guys as best I can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I even told some people at work about you. One person, one of the ladies I know, loves your sound too. And I think I've commented on one of your videos that I watched, and I said, "Man, Melody's voice is intoxicating. It kind of just, you don't expect that sound to come out of somebody so young, and it just draws you in."
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, we're actually working right now on the EP of 6 songs. We want to do a 10 songs, but because of the time, a lot of people are asking for the record, are asking to buy an album. We said, let's just put an EP out, have them something, and then in the meantime, we'll probably work on a full-length album. And we're going to, you know, we're hoping by the end of November to have something out, if not sooner. So right now we're every day working in the studio on the record.
So is everybody now in school, or are you homeschooled, or to take your time out of the day to call me from the West Coast? I appreciate it. So I was just wondering how that worked.
Yeah, well, us three, the oldest ones, Molly, me, and Sam. In California, there's this test you can take to graduate out of high school early when you turn 16 from 10th grade. And so we all took it when we turned 16, and we passed. So now we're out of high school. Only Justin and Ethan, they're doing online school at home.
Well, that's pretty interesting. That's one of the good things about California. I'm glad I don't live there because of the taxes you got to deal with, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
See, I live in the mountains of Virginia, right there on that little ponytail end. So, and I moved out in New Jersey, so I'm originally from up north. I'll tell you, it's really nice down here. Actually, it's a little late with the leaves changing color, so the colors are turning kind of nice. So, have you all gotten to perform anywhere else? Like, I even suggested, I saw the went to the Facebook page of the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and suggest they book you guys on, because I'd love to see you perform on a national venue.
Ooh.
Thank you for that.
But, we haven't really performed anywhere.
I guess it's kind of hard with only three of you being 16, because there is another young band, that's a family band that just performs in clubs, and I think all of them are at least 18 or older. So, but when you're a big group like that, you have that various difference in ages, it might be kind of tough. Maybe book some school dances or something. I guess, Florin, that's your job, getting gigs, huh?
Yeah. Well, we're planning next year, 2019. And, you know, I have an assistant who's actually helped co-producing on this original album, and he's from a major band. He's a guitarist and lead singer, and he is connected with all the rock festivals, and so we're planning after we put the album out, and especially that, you know, we can't say much because we signed a confidence agreement, but we're gonna be on a big TV show. A major one, and they can't say the name of the show or the network that's going to be on TV, but it's a major, it's like a competition. It's a new show, same like America's Got Talent or American Idol have, but it's a brand new show that comes out, and we got picked to audition for it. We passed, and so we're going to be on 2 episodes in February. The ones who are going to be on that show after the show, getting probably more exposure, more fans, that's when we're going to start touring. You know, we want to start touring and get on the road with a band. So 2019 will be the time we're going to start performing, do a concert tour.
Awesome. I just can't wait to see it. So you'll just have to let me know ahead of time. I won't say anything publicly, so I'll know to tune in. And then when you tell me you can put it on publicly, I'll do that. But seriously, I haven't commented on one of your videos about trying out for America's Got Talent. But if you're on a new one that's coming out, as a matter of fact, I'm looking right at it. It's right on the string of your Chain of Thorns video. I posted it a month ago, so.
Yeah, this is actually a really good opportunity because on the show, they don't just have you perform. They actually produce the stage, like they make the props. They make it look like a rock and roll concert. So for us, it was even better than the America's Got Talent because, the same producer who created those big shows are producing this show. And, they make the stage, they put a lot of money in it to make the stage look like a rock concert. So both shows have its own concept. So it really is going to make the band, the show look like people are watching a live concert. Because I know America's Got Talent, but this is just a plain stage and you perform and so on. You see what I'm saying? It's great. It's going to be a great exposure. They said they'll let us know when they're going to start promoting it, and then we could start publicly advertise about it and so on. And that's when anybody could, share with their friends to tune in and watch the show.
Well, that's really cool because I'll have to DVR because all the stuff I got to watch for this show, but I definitely want to see it. If there's a way for people to vote, I'll definitely be voting. But if you wanna let me know in an email, and I'll keep it a secret.
Yeah,
I'll know the email.
You
can also come back on to tell us when you're gonna, when you're allowed to promote it publicly. So we could do that too.
Sounds good. Yeah. Once we know something, we'll post on Facebook, Instagram, and everything, and just contact us, and we'll do another. Call in the radio station and talk about it, because then we could tell you everything.
Sounds good. Do you plan on doing any more covers as well, or are you just going original from here on out?
Yes. Actually, we have a new one that we perform on the show, and we want to do a video to it as well. Melody, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we want to work on Rainbow in the Dark, our deal with my favorite band. So we want to do a
great
video for that one.
Because I used to like Ronnie James when I first heard him back in his Rainbow days, because I grew up a big Deep Purple fan. So when they kind of their separate ways before they got back together, and listen to Ronnie James and with Rainbow, and then on to Black Sabbath, and then on to the solo stuff. They put out some really good music. I would love to hear cover and melody, and you hear you sing "Smoke on the Water" by Deep Purple. I bet that would sound awesome. But that's just me personally. If you ever think about it, let me know.
Okay.
Yeah, we always plan to do at least one song from all our favorite bands, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, because if we start touring and, you know, we have to push the regionals. We might not achieve that. But actually, we have about 15 songs that they perform from every, probably from Joan Jett, they have about two songs. And they have, I don't know, from other bands if they have two songs. But we wanted at least one song from every band that we like covered.
It's awesome to make for good YouTube watch, too, as well.
Yeah.
Well, Melody, I want to ask you a specific question, too. Obviously, you're a very talented artist. You sound really shy talking to you on the air here for somebody who has got such a powerful voice. What got you into drawing and doing paintings? Because obviously, the one in the video, you must have drawn ahead of time.
I like to paint.
Why do you like to paint?
I just want to be to inspire
you. Does the music inspire your painting or the other way around?
Both, I guess. I mean, like, you can't. Because, like, I paint, and sometimes the song matches me.
Because I went to your website and looked at your artwork, and it's pretty good. I mean, I'm not a aficionado, but it catches my eye, and I guess that's what it's all about. And you get the skill that's involved in having and being able to do something like that. I can barely draw a stick figure, so I appreciate what you can do on the canvas.
Thank you.
Well, look for the EP, national show. I can't wait to watch that. So we'll be in touch, Florin. I've got your contact info, and I'd like to thank you for having the band come on. We're about out of time right now. Hope you enjoyed your stay and your appearance here, and hope to have you back as soon as you can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you for having us on, and you know, thank you for sharing our music and put our music you know, live for the fans and listeners to hear it. We always appreciate, you know, because we do it for the fans. We do it for the people that love music. Because we live this kind of lifestyle. So it's all about music and the passion for it.
At least
we really appreciate it.
At least they like playing good rock music. Because it's hard to find anymore. So
yeah,
it's either real electronic or pop-ish or rap. And I'd like to hear some good vocals, good guitars, and Melody, your bass playing is phenomenal. I played bass in high school, so I can appreciate plucking it away and singing at the same time. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, well, we want to bring rock and roll back to the mainstream, you know, how it used to be, that everybody could, you know, rock never left, but, you know, it's not as popular in the young generation it used to be. So hopefully that with the young bands doing good music, we could kind of tune everybody in back to great music that's played live, and it's instruments, not just pressing a button on a, you know, a DJ thing, turntable.
That doesn't take really any talent. Playing guitar and drums is talent, because you have to actually work at something.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of work.
Because to get a good matching vocal and having a unique sound to the vocals, I think is paramount. Because you don't get that too often. You always try to get to us, impersonate other people, and you guys have your own sound, and it does stand out. So I wish you all the best, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having us.
All right, you have a good rest of the day, and good luck on your EP. Goodbye now, and we'll be in touch.
Bye.
Bye.
There you have our repeat, Liliac. When they were all young before the big tour, and Melody was kind of shy. Now she does speak up a lot on interviews. I'm looking to get them back. I saw an online one with them. And it's amazing, yeah, what 2 years. This is before she turned 17. Now she's just about to hit 19. So she'll be 19. Abigail will be 21, and Samuel will be 22, and then Ethan and Justin will be 13 and 14. So everybody will bump up a year. But they have a lot of fans, fangs as we're called, and they keep growing. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Oh, don't forget, They Still Live podcast. It's moving to video. That's right, you get to see my ugly mug and Jeff's when we release our initial taped one. Our first, Jeff ran one of his Ned Lee baked sketch comedy bits on the YouTube channel, They Still Live. So go subscribe, hit the notifications bell, and check us out. We should be up and running in a few, but if you want to hear some funny stuff, go check out Ned Lee Baked. He meets aliens looking for cannabis. Funny stuff. I'm trying to come up with a character for that, but I can't announce it on this show. I think I have one. More like a vampire-esque thing. Anybody that knows me might know the name once they hear it. I'm not going to talk about that here. This is my other This is my other stuff. The They Still Live podcast. I free myself up a little more. But anyway, YouTube.com, They Still Live. I'm Vinny. See y'all next week. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Don't eat too much. And if you want to tell the government to go screw themselves, I'm not going to rat y'all out for any family gathering. More than I don't know how many people they're shutting down to. 25, I hear 3. Wear your mask, stuff your face, or stuff your mask and wear your face. I don't know. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Anyway, that's our show for today. Bye now.